and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. A Chinese proverb says, "He who deliberates fully before taking one step will spend his entire life on one leg." Pastor Sam Kapu is the senior pastor of New Hope Manoa, and he is all about action. He definitely is not one of those who is standing on just one leg. A dynamic leader, professional musician, and gifted communicator of God's love and hope. As usual, we pause just to remind you with a gentle, loving whisper of the amazing love of God that is available to you at this very moment in your life. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what daunting task is before you, how overwhelmed you may feel, the Lord is with you. His arms are open wide to embrace you. In the midst of disappointment and discouragement and even despair, He is here to lift you up. And He sent Pastor Sam in studio to share out of his life, a life that is experienced personally, the amazing grace and power of God, which is available to you today. Pastor Sam is married to Jamie. He is the father. They are parents to Kalia, Nalu, Elijah, and Tamaili. And when you hear his story, if you've ever wondered if you should take a step of faith, the Lord, I believe, will infuse in you a swell of courage to take a risk because of love. It was Frank Scully who said, "Why not go out on a limb? Isn't that where the fruit is?" Pastor Sam is bearing fruit, and Pastor Sam is here today. Pastor, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Aloha, Danny. Thanks for having me. Such an honor.
Tell us, Pastor, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the beautiful country in the city called Kapahulu, home of Rainbow Drive-In and everything else. But
the best slush float.
And the best mangoes in town. Oh, my goodness. But loved it. Was born and raised Kapahulu, walking distance to Waikiki. Mm-hmm. But many generations of my family brought up in the same area. My mom's side, Waikiki, dad, Kapahulu. So it's home to me, and I'm back there now, in fact, living in Kapahulu. So I loved it growing up there.
Now, you come from a family of great talent in entertainment, in the comedic form of communication. Tell us, what was it like to have Sam Kapu as your father?
Crazy. Just crazy. And he still tries to write my material today, but a lot of it has to be censored. But it was great. And you know, I thought of it as a normal upbringing, you know, being backstage at the Don Ho show in my younger years and just watching dad on stage communicate and sing and make people laugh was normal to me. And just being brought up around that kind of atmosphere made it fun and really enjoyable. There was no such thing as a celebrity status or anything like that in my family. If you might be surprised to hear that, but when you're just everybody's uncle and auntie, whether it's Don Ho down to Gabby Pahinui and, you know, having Ledward Kaupana come over to the house and Peter Moon and, you know, all these guys, they're just uncle and auntie, you know. But you look back on your life and you count your blessings on whether right or wrong, there you pick and choose a lot of gems of wisdom and just marvel at what you live to be around people like that. So it's amazing.
I gotta ask, because it's not often that you have someone. I mean, you know, when we talk about A-listers, we hear that as a Hollywood term, A-listers. I mean, you just mentioned a slew of A-listers in Hawaii entertainment, current and past, just like that in one breath. Now, if you were to kind of distill something that was real special about them collectively, what was it that made these, real Hawaii epic entertainers, what made them special?
And, you know, as you're asking me that question, I'm kind of trying to put my processor in high gear, but one word keeps coming to my mind. And you know, back then, we went to church, kind of, and God wasn't so much the focus, or church wasn't, as, of course, it is now. And a lot of these entertainers, I know, maybe didn't know the Lord, but they all had one thing in common, and that was love, genuine love, for this place and for the people. And I think for a lot of those that were known for their talent, I think it came across in either their music or how they presented themselves. It was a genuine love for this place and for the people. And if I could pull anything out of just hanging around these people, I pull that and filter it through the love of Christ, and through His Word, into my leadership, into our church, Emmanuel.
Talk to us about growing up. You grew up in Kapahulu. Where did you go to school?
Started off at Jefferson Elementary, which was awesome. Then spent a year at Kaimuki Middle, and then I got into St. Louis High School and in eighth grade because Kamehameha wouldn't accept me. I was like the black sheep, Danny.
Okay.
You know, my whole family, dad, mom, brothers, aunties, uncles, grandfather, all graduated Kamehameha, blue and white. And I dreamt of going to Kamehameha. Tried every kindergarten, fourth grade, seventh grade, ninth. St. Louis calls and said, "You're in." I said, "Well, too bad Kamehameha. I'm going to go red and blue." So we went up to St. Louis. Loved it. No regrets. I believe God planted a small seed in my heart, and that maybe was part of the purpose of me going to that school, participating in the youth ministry there a little bit. I was still kolohe and very much into the world, but I believe a small seed of that love for God was put in my heart back then, back in Eidulfilgul. We're not going to say that, Danny.
We're not going to see.
Back in the you and me was going to school same time.
You know, it's a pretty amazing thing, you know, how we can look back in that time period that you just described, right? And yet even back then, the Lord was planting seeds.
Totally.
Of what He was preparing you to do, us to do. And today, I think it's good for us to remind people that there is a connection between what God was doing in their life even before, even if they didn't realize it back then.
Yeah,
I mean, how much did we realize what God was doing? We were so preoccupied or so consumed with our doing things
stuff
at that time.
And you look at my life, you know, after I graduated high school, I went, you know, I went the farthest you can go away from Christ. But like you said, you look back and you gotta know that God has a hand on your life even before you said the prayer of salvation. God was still there speaking to you and planting seeds in His way, because He knew down the line how things would turn.
I think it should give somebody hope today. Because it happens where things take place and we don't know how to make sense of it. A lot of life we don't know how to make sense of. It's just, you live.
Mm-hmm.
But even today, as you're going through the, maybe it's just the rigmarole of life right now, even though there's a swell of festivity coming up, you deep inside may be feeling somewhat of a gap, maybe even a void, maybe a gnawing sense of a quiet, desperate loneliness that just nags you. And you try to cover it up and thinking that it'll go away, but it never goes away. Well, the Lord is at work, because what that is it's a longing in your heart that the Lord longs to fulfill. And really, when push comes to shove, He's the only one that can fulfill it, because it's so deep, it's created by Him that only He can fill. And as we talk about points of change, points of conversion. When we come back from our break, Pastor Sam is going to talk to us about his change. He talked about Kolohe. He talked about what was going on in his life. When we come back, he'll share how Christ was made so real in his life. How Christ, he's a football man, so how Christ not only intersected, but maybe intercepted his life and took him to a whole nother level. I mean, you can score a touchdown, you can win a game, but he's winning the Super Bowl as he lives his life right now. And you can too. Regardless where you are right now, there's hope. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. A perfect gift this Christmas. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Intersections, interceptions, convergence points. You know, those times in life when things come together in ways often that you couldn't have done it on your own. You couldn't have manipulated the situation. It's just things that happen and really, when you're downright honest about it, you have to admit that God has orchestrated something above and beyond what you were able to do. This is the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my featured guest today, Pastor Sam Kapu. Pastor Sam is the senior pastor of New Hope Manoa. He is a man of action. If you want to find out more about Pastor Sam and his ministry, New Hope Manoa, you can go to www.enewhope.org. Of course, that's one word, enewhope.org. Go to the locations section and click Manoa. Or you can even try this, enewhope.org/Manoa, and you might be able to just go right there to their site. His email, if you want to email him, let him know that you heard him on the show and somehow God used him to touch your heart at this particular time, samkapu@enewhope.org. samkapu@enewhope.org. That's all one word. I've got a new book out. It's called Winner's Edge, and it's just a collection of quotes, insights, lessons that I've collected over the years. Something to enrich you. I think it'd be a great gift to also pass on to someone else. They'll benefit from it. I think they'll benefit from it almost immediately. And it's a good way to reach out to people. Pastor, we talked about these moments of change. Mm-hmm. How Christ comes into someone's life. What was it like for you? Tell us.
Well, you know, you look back on your life and you see a lot of key points of maybe how your life had spiraled down, and then you look at the key turning points of how Christ intercepted your life and mm-hmm. and put you on a road to spiral back up. You know, coming out of high school, high school sweetheart and very into music, and my values were just being in the music industry, doing as best as I can, and I had thoughts of recording, and you know, Hoku Awards started to become huge back mm-hmm. in the 80s, and I'm thinking, man, I would love to be up there, and you know, that was my goal. I went away to college, drank way too much, dropped out, mm-hmm. moved back home. I immediately went right into entertainment with the Al Harrington Show. I don't know if you remember Al, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but he was kind of he was up there with Don Ho with their showroom shows. And sure. 18 years old, got in there. I was dancing and singing and speaking and just learning the craft. Yeah, right. Got married very early, maybe 20 years old. To my high school sweetheart. Both of us not really knowing the Lord, of course, but not really knowing where we were going. Long story short, it didn't work out. We grew apart, and there was a hula dancer at our show that caught my eye. mm-hmm. And we started with dating, and that was Jamie, my wife now. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people we started off in divorce and we're working our way back to the honeymoon. And it's kind of backwards, but I really believe that's how our story went. You know, she met me at one of my lowest points, but we really felt to be together. I was recently divorced and we got together. And at this point, I was kind of spiraling down because of my divorce and other things that went on in my life, and the drinking escalated into use of cocaine, and from cocaine, of course, I started becoming real big. I got in that scene very heavily. Mm-hmm. So, and in this whole process, we already had Kalia, and she was pregnant with Nalu. Mm. And what happened was, it got so bad where that she took the babies and left me. And I remember looking into the mirror and saying, "What have you become? This is not the man that you once were. What happened to your dreams? What happened to your direction? Because all of that goes out the door once you hit that point. Yeah, drugs take over. And your focus becomes that and that alone. So it made me really look inward and upward, if you can say that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of the conversion that a lot of people don't know about my life. I had a cousin that basically was on his deathbed that was given a Bible. He accepted the Lord 3 days before he passed away. For some reason, 2 months later, his sister gave me his Bible. And she said, she's a very strong Christian,
mm-hmm.
gave me his Bible and said, I don't know why the Lord is asking me to do this, but this needs to go to you. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Put them up on the shelf. And as this spiral started going down, I mean, I lost my girl, I lost my babies, and I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? I remember opening it, and the words kind of popped out like never before. And I would pop it open every so often and just kind of read what it says. And you hear this a lot. People say I open the Bible and it seems like I open it to the exact page that I needed to read. And I believe it's true. I believe God directs your hand, setting you up, you know, setting you up for the alley-oop.
Alley-oop.
That's it. And what he also does is he surrounds you with strong believers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with me. And I'm not sure if you know who Ben Vegas is, but Ben and Josie were really great friends of myself and my wife. And we weren't married then, and I was going through my thing, and they were the ones who actually invited us to church. Back then, there was a church called Faith Fellowship. And I didn't have anything else to lose. So I remember walking in there, long hair, dark glasses on, hearing the music and going, this is awesome.
Hmm.
The music caught me right away.
Hmm.
Music caught me. Music drew me in, but the word pierced my soul. Pastor got up and talked, and he was reading my mail. So I started sobbing uncontrollably, not knowing why, but accepted the Lord. And it wasn't an overnight healing of my lifestyle, but it was a beginning of a very fulfilling transformation that took place. What was kind of out of the ordinary is the second week I went to church, they asked me to sing on the worship team. And I think part of God's strategy with that is he was using music to have me commit
mm-hmm.
to being there
mm-hmm.
because I was just going to sing. And I remember, you know, this prayer, and I think it might be cliche, but I threw up this prayer and I said, God, if you're real, I don't want to stop what I'm doing. In fact, I enjoy it. So if you're for real, you take the desire out of my heart. I'm not even going to try. And what I think I didn't realize what I was doing is I was surrendering to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Slowly, the need, the desire went away. And he broke my heart every Sunday through the songs and through the messages. And over the time, you know, my wife and I got married, got back, got strong. A few years went by. We actually moved to California. We left everything to help a friend pastor start a church in Torrance, California. Mm-hmm. Led worship for that church for 3 years. And then it was time for us to move back home. We moved back home. And in 2001, the Lord really put on my heart, you know, worship leading is one thing. But just like he was nagging at my heart saying, you know what, I want something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give me something more than that. And I didn't know what that was. And I didn't say the P word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid of the P word.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me tell you that. And as the last thing I wanted to become was a pastor. You know, I really got comfortable maybe in leading worship because I knew I could do it, mm-hmm. you know, drawing from what I've done in the past 23 years in music. I thought, man, I can do this, you know. But he said, nah, I want you to do something more. So, you know, almost not in secret, but in the back of my mind and in my decisions that I've made, I was seeking to learn more about him, learn more about leadership. The funny thing is when I was living in California, I was doing music full-time here, but when I moved there, trying to do music in L.A. is like, it's like me playing Pop Warner and going into the NFL and trying to play for the Green Bay Packers or something. So I decided I ain't going to play music. So I got into retail management for a sporting goods company. And I was thinking, what in the world am I doing here? I'm a Hawaiian boy. I play guitar and sing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. What am I doing here? Why do I have to learn? I remember screaming at God going to work. I'm not a morning person, for one. For two, why do I have to learn how to manage people? Why do I have to learn how to schedule? And I'm thinking back and I'm going, wow, man, he trained me for 3 years how to be a leader before I moved back. And went to Harvest Chapel for six, 7 years and kind of was mentored by the senior pastor there. And he retired. And
Pastor Earl
Takaoka. Yeah. Mentored under him for many years, and he encouraged me to take that next step and learn more about pastoring. And he, in 2007, retired, so he shut the doors of Harvest Chapel and encouraged us to seek our own path. And I had many friends that went to New Hope, so I went to one of their conferences to learn more about leading. And through that, got to meet a couple of the pastors, got to actually sit down with Pastor Wayne, and we both agreed that this was the path for me. So I came on to New Hope as a worship leader first, and now pastor of New Hope Manoa, which is just amazing.
I say to myself, what can I learn from the journey of Pastor Sam Kapu? Have you ever wondered about how God works in such progressive, and yet sometimes you think it's like behind the scenes work, backside work that seems to be insignificant or almost out of the range or the radar of what you were hoping to do.
Exactly.
And yet, he was preparing you. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody, Pastor Sam, somebody today is like feeling like they're in the backside.
What am I doing here?
Exactly.
What purpose do I have in doing what I'm doing
this
today?
This is the opposite of what my dream is.
Exactly.
You know, and even at one point, somebody might be thinking, I felt a prompting from God, and this is the opposite of that prompting. How is God going to use any of this? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
What would you say to somebody who's feeling like that right now?
Have faith. I was reading through his word today in Matthew, and he said, oh, you who of little faith, you trust me so little. And that spoke to my heart today, because a lot of times we don't trust that the Lord got this. So if you know the Lord, trust that he got this and ask yourself, what can I learn from this? To take to my calling, if you feel called, or you have a dream and you feel you're in the opposite situation of this dream. When I was in California, I had no idea. You know, I didn't even have an inkling or a desire to be in church leadership. And I've learned to just be faithful to him and trust in him. And he gave me favor.
You know, all of this started, we're even having this conversation, we've been talking about these things, because there came a point in Pastor Sam's life before he was even ready or willing to talk about the P word, the pastor word, but he was struggling with some very heavy addictions that had hold of him. Mm-hmm. But there came a point of surrender in not only his verbal expression, but there really was a surrender of his heart. And maybe as you're listening today, you're hearing us talk about things, relationship with Christ, but you yourself have never surrendered your life to the Lord. Well, there's a purpose for you being with us as well. God, we know we have a whole bunch of listeners that listen who have not yet come to know Christ, but you're listening because you're searching. There's a yearning, there's a desire in your heart. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk with Pastor more about, another important thing in life, a subject of risk. He and his family took a serious risk. And you want to hear what happened as a result of it, because then you will be able to extract even greater value for your own life and how it applies to you today. But then being able to take that risk comes back to a certain point of surrender. 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 Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you considered that perhaps this is that very moment for you to do that in the midst of what you're going through? Surrender. When we come back, we'll hear more from Pastor Sam Kapoor.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chineta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Convergence points, moments of surrender. Yeah, sometimes when you hit that bump in the road, it could be just a little bump, but that little bump could come because of so many other bumps. It just sets you off or sets you over. But will you allow it to push you to the place of the greatest grace that you can experience when you surrender your situation? And more than a situation, surrender your heart to Christ. Well, that's what we're talking about here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm here with my featured guest, Pastor Sam Kapu. Pastor Sam is a senior pastor of New Hope Manoa. You can find out more about New Hope Manoa at enewhope.org/Manoa. And you can contact Pastor Sam at samkapu@enewhope.org. You know, a program like this is made possible because we have corporate sponsors like Quilopo Painting Incorporated, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, and other supporters who are supporters just like you in this listener-supported radio show. You make this available for others to experience the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And a big mahalo to you. Thank you for your generosity. Pastor Sam, risk. Mm-hmm. You took a risk.
Yeah.
You and your wife, Jamie, you guys took a risk. Tell us about this risk.
Well,
it was put on my wife's heart first. She was, you know, having a stirring in her heart about maybe becoming a foster parent. So she brought it to me, and I was like, well, you know, let's pray about this one. Because we got three active kids already. And if it's something that the Lord really wants us to do, then we'll do it. So we took it to prayer, and we of course had dialogue about it, and we really came to a point and said, yeah, let's do this. So we went through, and it's kind of a long process to become licensed foster parents here in the islands, but you know, obviously for good reasons, right? So we went through the licensing process, and we became foster parents. And shortly after, they called us and said, hey, we got a little boy for you straight from the hospital. So you guys want him? Basically.
Just like that.
Just like that. We're going to bring him over in the next 24 hours. So we're like, yeah, okay. Brought him over. Beautiful baby boy. The funny story behind this is my wife had planned a trip to go to a conference in the mainland long before this happened. So when they delivered the baby, my wife actually left the next day. So guess who got stuck with this new baby for the first few days of his life? And you know,
Dad had to be mom too.
Dad,
huh?
Dad had to be mom, and oh my goodness. So you know, I'm bad enough with my own kids, and now I'm holding this 2-day-old baby in my arms. My wife's gone. Wow. And I'm looking into his eyes, and I remember just weeping, Danny, because it's a beautiful, beautiful child. And it's like, wow, how can this be that so many kids in our islands, whether one circumstance, and we're not putting anyone on blast, but one circumstance or another, they don't have a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think at that point, that first night looking into this baby's eyes, I said, you know, whew, there's a need. So, you know, I'm glad that we're doing this. So we took care of this baby. And, you know, my wife and I, we're going to love any child in our home like it's our own. So we poured out our love on this baby. And I got to dedicate the baby and our church. And we really just loved it. And the program we were in, it was kind of a new program. And it was kind of designed to be more of a temporary stay kind of foster program. So you know, we're coming towards the end of that so-called deadline where they got to decide what they're going to do with the baby. In the meantime, we were having really good relationship with the baby's dad, and we really were praying that we could reunite, if anything, either extend the stay of the baby with us or reunite the baby with his father, which is the goal, reunification. So we really wanted that, and we were pleading for that. And because of one thing or another, they came abruptly and took the baby, basically right out of my wife's arms, right at our doorstep. And it really broke my heart. But what it did to my wife was something that broke my heart more to see her.
Yeah.
Just so hurt. It's almost like, and it's almost like losing a child. You know, it's like, because we're never going to see this boy again. We don't know where he's going to go. And I think that might be the most scariest thought, you know. I mean, you hear horror stories about foster homes that, you know, whatever.
And just hearing you talk about it, too, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, about the way in which the baby was taken, right?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you hope for more of a weaning process, but it was kind of abrupt. And you know, it's something, though, you know, on the other side of that, it's something in the back of our minds that we had to kind of expect, because that's just how foster parenting is. But still, when you pour out love on someone or a child like this, it's still super hard to see that baby go, especially, you know, when you just found out that day that was going to happen. You know, there's no prepping of your heart or your thoughts or
there's a big life lesson, I think, that you can share with us as you go on about risk and love. How does that relate, you know, when you can you really love someone without risking? And is it to the extent of the risk that magnifies the amount of love? I mean,
exactly. And I think, I mean, maybe you can look back on your life, Daniel, or there's listeners out there who have been in relationships that, you know, a lot of us went through deep relationships that fell apart, that left us scarred for a long, long time. And as a result of that, you are afraid or you are reluctant to get into any other relationship. Or maybe you do, but you get up to this point and then
guarded,
and then you kind of stop there, which is probably results in relationships breaking up again. So there, I think we naturally default to that fear or that reluctancy when we get hurt, when we pour out love on someone.
And someone can become very guarded in it. And then, of course, some people, they go back into the cocoon. They just become jaded.
Yeah, hermits.
They don't allow, they're not, maybe it's a silent vow, right? I'm never going to allow somebody to get that close to me again because of the damage that I've felt.
Exactly.
But it happens. People feel like that all the time. Yeah. Today, right now, somebody is getting their heart broken. Rejection is taking place, or a child may be taken away. I mean, it's just that's the part of life that we don't like to experience. Nobody wants to experience. Nobody really wants to talk too much about it because it's too sensitive. But something happened in your family between you and Jamie, with you and Jamie. Something came about that you can call it an opportunity to put your risk at risk. And when we come back from our break, Pastor, I'd like for you to, we got to go into it.
Yeah.
I mean, because the implications are such that we all go through it at times. And it's that effect of, okay, now we are hurt. Now we feel burned. Now we feel slighted. And then an opportunity of some kind comes again. What do I do? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What do I do? Have you ever tried again and then got burned again? And you're in that place where you say, forget about it. It ain't happening ever again. I'm not going to let it happen. Well, hold tight, okay? Because when we come back, you're going to hear something that could change the way you feel, maybe change the way you think. Change the way you think God works in situations. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
I'm looking for a great gift idea this Christmas. Something that's useful all year, will inspire the person I give it to, and at the same time, improve the quality of their life.
Have you heard about Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge? He shares over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from many influential leaders, business owners, sports personalities, entertainers, and innovators.
I'd love to share something so valuable it will give people insights for living on topics like relationships, teamwork, leadership, family, love, hope. He has a special way of presenting Christ's love in his books.
You'll get all that and much more with Danny Yamashiro's book, Winner's Edge. Get it at your nearest bookstore or as an ebook on Amazon Kindle. And while you're at it, get his book, Paradise Calls, his miraculous survival story, also in ebook.
And remember to listen to him and his guests weekdays on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight on 99.5 KGU FM.
Get more information about Danny and his books at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Talk about taking a chance. Just getting out there, stepping out, not knowing what's going to happen next. And then you couple that just risk with emotion, risk with pain, risk with a past of feeling broken. What do you do? Have you ever felt that before? You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. My featured guest today is Pastor Sam Kapu. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and you might be listening and just tuning in thinking, man, I caught the tail end of that other segment. Is it possible for me to hear the rest of the show? Absolutely, yes. You can just go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can hear the rest of it, hear the show in its entirety. Better yet, you can invite someone else to check it out, to listen to it. And there are other resources on the site as well, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Pastor Sam, you were talking about being a foster parent, having the baby in just a short period of time, what, 3 months, the baby abruptly taken from you. I mean, you weren't given a whole lot of warning. And just the way that it was done is so abrupt. I mean, it's not a whole lot of compassion that seems to have gone along with that process. But then something happened in the tenderness of a shattered heart. Take us there.
Yeah. So let me rewind the tape and kind of paint this picture, Danny. I just became pastor like maybe a month in when all of this happened. So I kind of have the burden of that, kind of trying to find my feet in my ministry. And then the baby's taken away and my wife spins into this, you know, low-grade depression, if you can call it that.
Sure, sure.
And it just broke all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, we it took us a little while to really kind of get our footing back and refocus on God. And it took reading God's word, of course, every day together and just daily putting our trust back into him, And, you know, months go by and we're still licensed foster parents. And so we dialogue again. I mean, do we stay licensed, or is this it for us? Maybe we're not made. Maybe we get connected. Maybe we you know, attach ourselves too much. And, you know, it doesn't have to be with a baby like we discussed before. I mean, a lot of us in any relationship ask ourselves these same questions. So, you know, we're going back and forth. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And then almost a year after the first baby left, almost a year later, we get a phone call. And it's our social worker, and she says, I have this baby girl. She's 2 months old. Her mom is addicted, you know, to drugs, and state took her away, and she was being taken care of by a friend of the family, but this family can no longer take care of her, and we need to put her in a good home. Would you guys consider? So my wife calls me. I'm in the middle of doing a funeral service, and I call her back, and because she says, call me back. It's urgent. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. So I call her back, and she says, hey, they called, and they said, if we want to take in this baby. And I said, you know, I don't know if I want to see you go through that again. I don't know if I want to put our kids through that again. Mm-hmm. You know, I have two teenagers and a little boy that love, you know, children, and they were really hurt by it too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to do that. As a father, I was trying to protect them from heartache. So she said, yeah, you're right. And I don't know. I'm afraid of going through that again too. And I said, yeah. We were going down that road. We were deciding, you know, maybe not. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, then it's not that we don't care, but it was something that I felt I wanted to do for my family. So we said, maybe not then. Right after I got off the phone with her, I'm driving up over the pulley because we had to go do the burial now of this funeral. And I get a call from a really good friend of mine, and you know him, he's Max mm-hmm. Nevis, and he was on the show.
Yes.
And some backstory about, just to explain to the listeners, Max lost his 3-year-old son to the swine flu here in the islands, and it was very devastating. But anyway, Max calls me and says, hey, what's going on? I said, hey, Max, they called and they want us to foster a baby. He's like, are you going to do it? I said, you know, I'm thinking I might not, because it was so hurtful the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to see Jamie go through that and our kids. And, you know, we've got the ministry that, you know, I start rationalizing it, right? I'm busy trying to pastor this church. I don't know if I want to add that onto my plate.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. I'm trying to add that to my plate. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know he lost a son, and he said, yeah, you know, he's encouraging me. You know, maybe you're right. It's not a bad idea. Maybe you guys shouldn't do it. You know, I don't want to see you guys go through that again. Yeah, you're right. You know, yeah, bro. Yeah. So I hang up the phone. I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't think we're going to do it. All right.
Confirmation.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I get out of the car, and I'm doing the ceremony. And in the meantime, Max calls my phone back. And I jump back in the car, and I'm driving, and I noticed, hey, there's a message on my phone. So I put it on speaker, and I'm playing it while I'm driving. And it was Max. And Max said this. He called. He said, hey, Sam, I know you're at the funeral, but I needed to call you back right away, because once I hung up, the Lord really spoke to my heart and asked me a question. The Lord asked me, Max, if you knew that you could only have Joshua for 3 years, would you still want your son? And Max said, yeah, of course I would, Lord. Then he said, well, what if two? What if 1 year? Would you still want Joshua? Max said, of course I would. Well, I mean, yeah, of course. Well, how about if you just had him for about 6 months, 3 months? Would you still want Joshua to enjoy him for that time? And you know what he was getting at, right?
Right.
And I was like, oh, at this point, I am sobbing. I mean, I couldn't even drive. The tears were welling up in my eyes because the Lord, through Max, snapped me back into his reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not about, you know, it's like, it's not about how long you love. It's that you love. It's not about the consequences. It's about what I'm asking you to do. So in tears, I call my wife and I'm like, we got to have a family meeting. And I kept Max's message on my phone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we all gathered and I look back and I think we all went to go get ice cream. And we all sat around the table and I said, okay, this is the deal. They want us to take in another baby for foster care. And my kids looked at me like, oh, not again. So I play them Max's message. And all of us started crying. And my daughter turns to us and said, we got to get that girl. And I said, you're right. We got to get that girl. So we prepared our hearts. We went down. We got the girl. Her name is Tamale. And the first thing I thought was, this girl looks exactly like us. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, almost uncanny. So we took her. With all expectation, we were just going to be foster parents to her as long as it takes, whether short or long, we're going to love her like our own. We got her at about 2 or 3 months old. She's 20 months old now. We're still her foster parents. But as the Lord worked, we're going to become more than foster parents to her. In a couple months, we're going to be signing adoption papers, Danny. And God has gifted us with this beautiful little girl. And you know what? Here's the thing. I almost missed out on this blessing because I wasn't willing to take the risk that God was asking me to.
Taking the, you know, sometimes it's just like that just one more risk.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Sam, that's a parting shot to somebody right now, mm-hmm, about taking that step of faith one more time to risk it, to make yourself available. Pastor Sam, I appreciate you. Big mahalo.
Thank
you for coming to share your life. It gives hope to people right now who are wrestling with some very serious issues in life, issues of the heart. But you're a man of the heart. You speak from the heart to the heart. It's a God-given gift that you have, and you have shared it so freely. Pastor Sam Kapu, samkapu@enewhope.org, /Manoah. Sam Kapu at enewhope.org. In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories like this. I encourage you to invite someone to listen. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Pastor Sam Kapu. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.